week. And so Ron will complete his talk on sending subdraft into header.
Thank you. This morning I had the impression that each of the speakers was supposed to take a little time to point out Brian's role in the problem. And so I thought I would at this point. And after analyzing everything very carefully, I'm reasonably certain that his main contribution was he didn't spill that coffee on my slides. Okay. Anyways.
Never be invited again.
Ah. He doesn't live here anymore anyways. Okay, as a reminder, the idea that we talked about yesterday was that given a graph with positive size, meaning it has some edges, where that size sits somewhere between n plus 1 choose 2, but less than n plus 2 choose 2 for some n, then we want to break up the edge set into graphs g1, g2, out to gn, where each is not empty. Keep Guantao happy. And each is isomorphic to a proper subgraph in the edge sense of the next one down the line. Okay? So the ascending part of this is that the sizes of the graphs grow as we go up the sequence. And the trick is keeping the subgraph embeddings as we go up the line. And there was that first little example of an ascending subgraph decomposition of that particular graph that we looked at last time. Okay? So everybody sort of pass this to Pavel. Let him read.
Thanks very much.
No problem. Okay. So last time we saw that there wasn't a lot known in general on graphs. There were some particular graph results. There was others that I didn't bother you with. The main techniques that we saw centered around matchings and stars. And in one case, we were able to extend the results a little further by getting away from that and getting off to paths. But we're still sort of limited in the structures that we've been capable of using in order to try to build these decompositions. That's been the big problem. Okay? So today what I'd like to talk about is what that was going to be my title before you asked to see that first slide again. Forget that. So let's sort of think about a best approximation. I'm crazy enough to try to sit down with an arbitrary graph and see how far I can build the sequence. Okay? So in order to do that, let's assume that we've got some partially built sequence. G1, G2 out to GT. Now I want to know how far I can push the T. So, given such a sequence, let's talk about the sequence ratio. This T divided by my ideal N. So that'll give me some measure of how far I've gone. So, if we have an ASD for the particular graph in question, then its sequence ratio would be 1. Okay, so that's one way we're going to try to approach the problem. Let's just try to build it. When I fail miserably there, we'll try a different direction. Okay, so with that different direction will be we'll alter the definition a little bit. We'll alter the definition in that we'll ease up on the growth idea. But we'll keep the subgraph embedding idea. So maybe I can always build some sort of sequence, and now I want to shorten that sequence down to n. Okay? So I'm going to try to trap the question from both sides. Build the best sequence I can build according to the definition. And since you know the conjecture is not solved, I'll fail. But I'll get partway. And then I'll loosen the definition, try to build something, and then try to squeeze that down as much as I know how to at this moment. And of course, I'll again fail to get to N. So I'll spend the rest of the day failing in front of you. Okay? It's not the first time in my life that will have happened. Okay. So there's the ideas that we're going to start with. And For the weakened definition, we'll also talk about the ratio k divided by n. This time, this is going to be something bigger than 1. And again, I'll try to squeeze it down as far as I can. And so another way to think about the ASD conjecture, that every graph has the ascending subgraph decomposition, is that I ought to be able to make the sequence ratio equal to the weak ratio equal to 1. Right, so that doesn't say a lot. Okay. Now, as was pointed out at the end last time, we saw a lot of things that dealt with star forests in the decomposition. And Fodry, Jarafas, and Shelp actually made the conjecture that every graph has an ASD where each of the individual graphs in the sequence are star forests. Okay? Now, I'd like to be able to tell you that they did this after analyzing everything that people had done, and they had a great insight that nothing better was going to happen, and they made this conjecture. But they actually made this conjecture long before almost everything I told you was done. They heard the conjecture from Erdős very quickly after the first paper. In fact, before the first paper was probably even typed up in typical Erdős fashion, and they converted it to this problem. So let's go with that idea. We're going to try to stick to star forests and see how far we can push things. All right, so let me fail from the low end first. Now, if the max degree is small in comparison to n, that either from Fu's result or our extension of Fu's result, we can get the ASD. So we might as well assume that the max degree in our graph is bigger than n over 2. Actually, we could assume it's bigger than 2 minus root 2 times n. Okay, and for just simplicity, I'm going to let SM be the star K1N, the star with M edges. So what's the strategy? Well, the strategy is, right now we're stuck with some vertices of high degree. If we're going to deal with stars and matchings and somehow put things together, then I'd like to squash down these vertices of high degree. Right, we know that if we can squash things low enough but keep enough edges in overall, I can pull out some partial matchings at least. So the game I want to play is I want to prune down the big degree vertices by pulling stars off them. And I want to do it in such a way that I decrease the overall max degree enough while keeping enough edges overall in the graph so that things are spread out enough so that I can pull out some matchings of some sort of reasonable size. And I want to be able to repeatedly pull those matchings. It's the only strategy I had. So we'll go as far with it as it'll take us. Okay, so what am I going to do? I'm going to start attacking those big degree vertices. And I'm going to pull a star that has at least one edge. I have to take at least one edge to get it down. I should tell you what my target is. My target is I'm going to be playing with two parameters, beta and epsilon. My goal is to get all the large degree vertices to be no bigger than beta minus epsilon times n, and then figure how good I can do that in terms of trying to later on pull beta times n matching sizes out. Okay? So I got to play with these parameters, get some equation, see where it takes me. So that's the idea. All right, so obviously I got to pull at least one edge off this star, potentially, and I may, if you do some arithmetic, have to pull a bunch. So let's think of having to pull beta minus epsilon times n sort of as a worst case to shrink the size of this degree. Remember, my vertices have degree more than n over 2, so I've got to play a game here. So let me dig out a picture to sort of go with this. So I'm going to start pruning these big stars, these big degree vertices. And I'm going to take at least one and no more than that many from one of them, at least two and no more than that many from the next one. And I'm just going to keep going and see how far I have to go doing this process until I've got them all down to all the highest degrees down to no more than beta minus epsilon times n. And let's assume it takes me epsilon n steps. So I've got to balance these parameters together. Okay, so that's the game I'm playing. All right, so keep that in mind. Now I've ripped all those stars out of the graph. Okay. Now, in the graph that's left, once I've ripped those stars out, we've done this in such a way that we've forced the max degree to be less than beta minus epsilon times n. That was the whole point. I was going to keep pulling out stars until I could do that. All right, so how many edges are left? Well, I started, let's assume at the base case, n plus 1 choose 2. Anything else is just benefit. And I pulled out at least the edges that were in this. The worst case situation for me would have been that I had to really pull in order to push these stars down. So let me count it that way. Well, if I just do the arithmetic, I end up knowing that the number of edges left, knowing that the number of edges left in my graph looks like this. Just a big mess. Yeah, not such a bad mess. Okay. Now, the sad part of this proof is that I've pulled all these nice stars out. All I'm going to use out of these edges is one edge from this star, two edges from this star, up to epsilon n edges from this star. And I wish I knew how to use the rest of these edges reasonably, but I don't. So I'm essentially going to throw them away. This is a major capitalist proof. I'm going to waste all kinds of stuff here. Okay? Now, so let me pull those red edge stars and hold on. I'm holding on to those. That's a nice ascending sequence. I'll use those later. All right, now what's the nice part? Well, the nice part is I've driven the max degree down. That's the whole process I went for. And what I'd like to do now is find that many disjoint matchings of that many edges each. That was the whole point of the exercise here. Okay? Well, when is this going to be possible? It's going to be possible as long as I got enough edges, because they're spread out now. Let's hold that for a second. So this is going to be possible provided my number of edges left is big enough to supply enough edges. Because the max degree is down low, it's a real easy argument inductively that if I pull so many of these edges, so many of these matchings, I can pull the next one, or else I would have violated the max degree condition. It's a real trivial argument. If you do the arithmetic, you get this inequality. Well, unfortunately, epsilon might be as small as 1. So this could be a half. So the best I can say is this is going to stay true as long as I keep beta no more than root 2 over 2. So let me actually make it root 2 over 2. So now I know I can pull those matchings. So let me pull those matchings. Okay, those are nice edge disjoint matchings, that many in number, and each has, you can hardly see it, beta times n edges. Okay? If I remember right on my picture, what happens next? We're going to go back to pictures. So what I want to do now is take those red stars and union them with my matchings to build up some size to the, I'm trying to build the upper end of the sequence. Okay? Well, there's a small problem when I do that. And the problem is that I might have some intersections, and I have no lousy control over how many. Okay? So with S1, I might have one. With S2, I might have two. All the way up the line to as many as, with S sub epsilon n, I might have epsilon n, such edges touching. And because I can't count on any kind of nice pattern here, that's a small problem. Well, I've already thrown a lot of edges away, so let me do it again. From each of the matchings, let me pull epsilon n edges away appropriately. enough to make sure I've broken anything like that. Okay? So what's left is going to be a star with I edges in each case and a matching with beta minus 2 epsilon n edges. Okay? Now, at least this time, when I pull those epsilon n edges out of each matching, I'm going to save them. So I've got now this little collection of matchings. So remember that. They're still hanging around. I'm not wasting absolutely everything here. Okay, so that's where we are at the moment. Now we go for the home stretch. All right, so there's what I've gotten so far. Remember, my S1 matching is just an edge. My S2 matching would be the 3 path, etc., up to the last one. So I'm up at the top end of the sequence. Now, I didn't use all the matchings. I only used epsilon n of my beta minus epsilon n matchings. So if I've got beta big enough, then that's easy to have. Then I've got a bunch of other matchings hanging around from my original collection of beta minus epsilon n matchings, each with beta n edges. Okay? So there they are. Okay? So for those matchings with subscripts epsilon n plus 1 up to beta minus epsilon n, let me look at them. And notice exactly how many edges I have here is beta minus epsilon n plus 1. So this one is a proper subgraph of this one. And right on down the line, what I want to do is pull the proper number out of each of those to form the next collection of graphs. So now I've built my sequence to run from epsilon n plus 1 on up to here. And so far, so good. It ascends very nicely. Now I've got to put the small n down. And the stars aren't going to help me. Those big stars that I might have, they're just in the way. But remember, the edges that I pulled over here, to clear these matchings, I pulled epsilon n edges out repeatedly. And just the right number of times. Epsilon n times. So now I take those edges back, and I start pruning them to put it at the front end of the sequence. And now I'm done. And I'm sad to say, that's the best I know how to do in general. Okay? Well, the only question was how long the sequence would be, and it ended up being beta n long, and we know beta is root 2 over 2. Now, when we first came up with this, the thing that sort of struck me at the time, this was back in maybe 86 or 87, was that Bolabas had tried to do a similar kind of approach to the tree packing conjecture of Jarafas and Lale. And he had a paper where he went as far as he could go. And how far up the sequence did he get? He got to root 2 over 2 times n. And I thought that was eerie. We showed you there's a little tie in between. Now, this proof doesn't look anything like what he did, but that we got stuck in the same spot, which worried me some. But I have nothing more to say about that. Okay. Anyways, so that's as far as we could go. And that ends the failure from the low side. Now that we've failed miserably from the low side, let's fail miserably from the high side. Oh, I even had a slide where we recall we had those little magics. You remember that? It would help if I actually remembered the slides I made. Okay. And here's all the words that say what those pictures look like. So the conclusion, and this was joint with Fodry, Jacobson, and Lesniak, is that we can always make this sequence ratio at least root 2 over 2. Okay, and this, in a sense, adds a little credence to the Fodry, Jar, Foss, and Shelp conjecture because everything was star forced. I'd be happy to twist that into something else to get further up the line. Okay. Let's try from the other direction. So remember, we're going to say the sequence G1 to EK is a weak ascending subgraph decomposition. If GI is isomorphic to a subgraph of GI plus 1, and this time, this time the number of edges is less than or equal to I. Okay? And what we're going to go after is showing that the weak ratio is bounded above by 9/8 times root 2. Again, that root 2 ugly number keeps popping up. All right. So, we're going to start with sort of the same idea. Let's see if we can prune some stars. Okay? So, this time the upper subscripts are just labels of which numbered star. So, I'm going to start pruning stars, and hopefully epsilon n of them, where they're each as large as root 2 over 2 times n in edges. Now, it's possible there aren't any. So my sequence here may be empty. If it is, then I have less to play with later on, but it doesn't affect the number in any way, shape, or form. All right. And I'm going to keep doing this till I can't do it any further, and I'll therefore know that my max degree has been forced down again. All right. So if my max degree is small, I'm going to get no stars. Otherwise, I know my max degree is in that range, and I can pull stars. And I may pull one that's even slightly bigger than this, but only one. It's another one of these delayed jobs. So my star SI looks like that, and I'll pull a sequence of them where the last one, these all have exactly the magic number of edges, but this one may have a little bit extra, up to R extra, and R is just a little bit over my root 2 over 2 times n. Okay, so I pulled those things away, and now I forced them. All right, so think about those stars. At least this time, I don't have to throw them away. Okay. It's a small benefit, but not. You know, you have to take joy where you can find it. So I've got this sequence of stars and this one that's a little bigger. Well, under my new rules, that's kind of a weakly ascending sequence because they stay the same for a while, and then there's a small jump. So I'm okay, provided this sequence is long enough that this guy's okay, but that's all right. Let's assume that it is at the moment. All right, now what's left? Well, if you do the arithmetic, I've got that many edges left, and I force my max degree down. So again, I can pick out a function of n matchings of a particular size. And in fact, what I can form is that many matchings with at most that many edges each. Okay? And my epsilon is bounded here. So now let's do that. So the next phase is to pull out those matchings. Okay. Now there's a very simple little lemma that you can come up with that says if I take one of these stars SI and the corresponding matching MI, then I can break them up into two graphs where there's a star and a matching in each graph, and the star has this size, and the matching has this size. The arithmetic is just enough. Let's see, did I? Yes, I did. These things are just big enough to make this kind of split. There should be another one here. find the slide I'm looking for. What did they do? There was supposed to be an overlay on this. Oh, well, imagine there's a star sitting up. If you look at the arithmetic, things are just big enough that when I lay that matching in, at the worst case, it touches all these bottom edges. So maybe it comes in like this. But the numbers are just good enough that I can take and kind of divide this down the middle and take the star from over here and the matching from over here. So now I've got them disjoint again, and vice versa. Just divide everything in half. And if they don't match up, that's even better. They're helping me. Okay, so that's all that's going on there. Nothing of consequence, except that it's going to help me string the sequence. Okay, so I get a bunch of matchings that look like this. A bunch of graphs that look like this, a star along with the matching. And I've done this, so I get a sequence of 2 times epsilon n such graphs when I do that. And all those graphs are very nicely balanced. Now, in order to get them all nicely balanced, I may have had to pluck an edge here or there from my epsilon n matching. So to make sure that when I was pairing things up, I had an even number of edges to do this division with. Those few little edges at the end that I've plucked off, meaningless in the long run. I'll throw them up at the top or at the bottom, wherever I need them later on. Okay. Now, I've got some matchings left over I haven't used yet. I've got that many left over. So I can partition these down the middle into 2 matchings, each time one with this many edges and one with that many edges. Okay, so all together, that's going to give me that many more graphs to string into my sequence. Put that mess there. Okay, so far, here's what I've got in my sequence. I've got these matchings that have floor of m over 2 edges, followed by these matchings that have ceiling of m over 2 edges. Can't get hurt there. Followed by these matching star combinations that I built up, which each have at least as many edges as this stuff, and they go on being equal for a while, except for maybe that last one, which is a little bigger. Some slop edges went in there. So I've got that, and I already know how long that is. I did a count here someplace. That's how long the count is, root 2 times 2. Okay. Now let's vote on what the problem is so far. Why am I not done? Okay, let's not vote. I told you I wouldn't do that. It doesn't matter how you vote anyways, right? Okay. The problem is, I've got that stupid size restriction at the front end that I'm violating now. So the front end is too big. I can fix that. That's easy to fix. All I need to figure out is how far up the front end I need to go. Well, how big are these matchings? They have that size. So what I have to do is look at the initial root 2 over 8n of these graphs. That's where everything's too big. After that, my sizes start to work out. So what I have to do is go into those graphs. So somewhere in here is the top end of that. And I pluck one edge out of that graph, and I make it the first graph in my sequence. And I drop down to the next one and pluck 2, right on down the line, and everything falls into place. And whatever couple of lousy edges might have been left over get thrown up top, and nobody cares. Okay? And now when I do that, and the arithmetic, that's what adds up to the 9 over 8 times square root of 2 times n. They're all in there somewhere. You can take square roots of any ones you want. I don't care. Okay? And that's as good as I know how to do all the time from the other end. So once again, we are not exactly close to 1. But at least it's trapped. Okay, so now we failed in both directions. Let's let somebody else fail. Okay. So, a different kind of variation, due to Fu and Hu, they had the idea of knocking I edges off the count from n plus 1 choose 2, and talking about what they called a general ASD, and that would be if they could partition the edges into n minus 1 sets, g1, g2, out to gi minus 1, then they skip to gi plus 1, etc., where each embedded in the one above it as a subgraph, proper subgraph, and the subscript told you the edge count. So the missing I edges might have been there. Okay. So they went about showing things like star forests have these generalized ASDs. Not a major surprise, since we'd already proved that star forests had ASDs. But one question they did ask was if they could prove that a generalized ASD existed, could they somehow massage it into an ASD? And I don't have a clue at the moment how to do that. Okay. Okay, so then they went in a different direction and tried to loosen in a slightly different way. Again, our size this time is n choose 2 plus some amount, t. And they defined what they called a nearly ascending subgraph decomposition. So if we can partition our edge set back into n sets, where the first t of them have I edges, and the rest of them have I minus 1 edges, based on their subscripts. Okay? That gives the proper arithmetic, and again, we have the embedding problem. So there's a little glitch in what they're allowing here. And they go on to do special classes again, but that's it. So that whole idea, as far as I'm concerned, is fundamentally untouched. Alright. Now let's look at one last problem. So that's all I know about these generalizations, because that's all I think exists. So let's look at the one last problem that I think is interesting. Stars to stars. Okay. In the original paper, and I'm absolutely willing to guarantee you that this is Erdős's contribution to the paper, we're going to say if for n greater than or equal to 2, we're going to let G be the union of stars, S1, S2, out to Sk, such that the size of each is Ai. The Ai's run between n and 2n minus 2, and they sum up to n plus 1 choose 2. Then the conjecture is that G has an ASD where, in fact, each graph is the union of stars. Okay? The equivalent form of this is to take a set of integers, where the integers sit in that range. And then we're asking for a partition of 1 through n into sets S1 to Sk. Remember, there were k stars here. Such that for each I, you've got Ai when you summed up the terms in the partition. Okay? It's a number theory question. I know all these people. This is Erdős's contribution. I have another reason for thinking this is Erdős's contribution, and that is because one day after the original paper came out and I knew about it and I'd been thinking about the question, he came to Emory and he sat in my office for an entire afternoon, and I asked him about the ascending subgraph decomposition conjecture, and he immediately said, yes, let's work on disproving it. And we spent the afternoon with him saying, try this graph, and me going, here's how you do the decomposition, until he finally looked at me and said, you know, Gould, this conjecture might be true. So I don't think he really believed the original conjecture, but I'm pretty sure he was interested in this one. Okay. Enough stories. So what's known? Audrey, Jarafas, and Shelp didn't attack well, I should point something out before I go on here. You probably are asking yourself, why especially this body? Okay? Well, if I let the star get bigger than, say, 2n, then I could pull off an n star. That's the top graph in my decomposition, and it's the same as asking for the n minus 1 situation. So that adds nothing to the problem. And now if my big star is exactly 2n minus 1, then I can break it as the n star and the n minus 1 star, have the top two graphs, and worry about everything else. So that adds nothing to the problem. So as far as he was concerned, it was only interesting in this range. Big stars broken into little pieces. Okay? Okay. All right. So, Audrey, Jarafas, and Shelp thought about star forests, but they didn't think about exactly his problem. They simply thought about G being a star forest with the right number of edges. Then what they showed was that G had an ASD, but it wasn't a star ascending decomposition. Star, 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 each graph. Okay, there's our star forests when they're done. All right, so we'll lightly sketch what they did here. So first they looked at the situation where there were stars of G that had less than or equal to n edges, and collectively they had greater than or equal to n edges. So they tried to gather up the little guys and hope that the little guys summed up to enough, because they don't have the same restrictions on the star sizes here. And so let's suppose that H1 through HL are the stars of our original graph that fit that category, and let's order them like this. Okay? Now, they went in and deleted n edges total from these stars by starting with taking as much as they could here, possibly all of it, moving on down to the next one if they had to, right on down the line. So we can assume that the edges of HL, HL minus 1, down to some HL minus M, have all been pruned out in taking these n edges away. And they may have even possibly gone into this next graph and taken a few. Right? Well, that's exactly n edges, and you can guess that they're going to put this stuff up top. So inductively, by what's left has the magic number of edges, because they pruned n edges out. So you get a decomposition that looks like this. We're going to label it G2, G3 after GN, even though they each have one less edge. And so each GI has I minus 1 edges. It embeds in the one above it by an induction assumption. They're all star forests. So what are we going to do? Well, we're going to take one edge out of that collection of N, put it at the bottom, and the next one we'll just union with what's here on up the line in an independent fashion. Now, you got to work a little to be sure you can do this, but you can. Okay? So by carefully plucking those edges back out, things work out. Remember, we were trying to destroy whole stars. That's the idea that makes this possible. There's only a few potential edges that can cause you trouble, but you got a lot of stars. That's what makes it work. Okay? So that's that case. In this case, they assume that they have two stars, a K1L and a K1M, where L and M are at least bigger than N. So now they assume they got two big stars. And they define this function, F of K, for K less than N, to look like 1 plus 2 out to K plus K plus 1 times N minus K. That's their function. Okay? And the nice thing about this function is if you look at fk plus 1 minus fk, it looks like that. Okay? Now, their objective here is to delete f of k edges from the two big stars. And you'll see as we play with this this kind of part is sort of magic here. It makes all the difference in the world in building things. They want to invoke induction and put back those edges in an appropriate manner. Sit there. Good. So how are we going to do that? Well, the F of K deleted edges are going to include everything from here. And whatever's left over will come from the smaller of the two. Alright, now we're going to take that and we're going to split those deleted edges into stars that ascend like this. 1, 2, out to K, remember what my function looked like. That's easy to do. And then a bunch of copies of stars that look like this. 1, k plus 1. k1, k plus 1. Now remember what that function looks like. That was the whole point of this, was that I'm pulling off enough in big piles that look like that I can do this. So really you want to probably do this part first and then play with this part. That's the easy part. Okay. The graph that remains has a magic number of edges so that you can play the induction game. And let's see, now what do we want to do? I forgot. All right, so now we got to put back the stars from there. And this one does get messy and complicated. They have to shift at times where they're trying to put things back and be careful enough that they can rebuild the ascending sequence. I'm not going to go through all the details of that. It just takes a little bit of care. But unfortunately, it's not so nice as you can just do it. You have to be careful, but it is doable. And that takes care of that case. And that's actually the most interesting of the cases. The other case is when the first two cases fail to hold, and it's just an easy induction. I don't think I'm even going to waste any time.